We're going to start in James 1, verse 2 this morning. James 1, 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, trials come to us all. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your rank. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much of the word you've heard. Trials come. They come to us, period. They come in all shapes and sizes. They come small, you know, little things, just part of life. You know, you cut off in traffic, or you're sitting there and the traffic's hardly moving. You're trying to get someplace, or, you know, something, an appointment is canceled that, you know, you were expecting, or you know, any number of things. But, and they come in, you know, big sizes. There's major things that come against us. But regardless of the size of the trial, it says here in James to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. To count it all joy. Now that is easier said than done a lot of times, but that's what the Bible says, to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. And this goes back to what we've been talking about. When we know what the Word of God says, when we know what God's Word is on something, then we can get His perspective on our situation. And when we have His perspective, then we can go through the trial the right way. You know, if you come, something comes to you into your life, and they will, you know, trials just come. Things come. If we have the right perspective for what's going on, then it makes it, we can go through it the proper way without getting bogged down with the things around us. With God's perspective is what we want. And, you know, we can look at this and say, how could you possibly count it all joy? But when you know what God says, and you know where He's going, I mean, where He wants you to go and what He has done for you, then it's possible. We're going to talk about that some this morning. We're going to just hold your finger there. And actually, just you won't have to hold your finger there. Probably just skip down in verse 16 of James 1. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Do not be deceived. When you have trials come against us or come against you, it is tempting to think that somehow God is not with you, because that's the enemy. The enemy will tell you that. It's tempting to think somehow you missed it somehow. You let this happen somehow in your life. Now, it's possible something that you did, you know, didn't help the situation. But regardless, even if you had done nothing, trials are going to come. And it's useless to try to, I mean, there's some use to, if it's something that you've done over and over and it's directly related, I'm not saying there's no use to say, you know, If I go and kick the wall and I break my toe, and then I get all heels and I go and kick the wall and I break my toe again, somewhere along the line I'd probably need to wake up and quit kicking the wall so I don't break my toe, so I don't have to get over it. But at the same time, don't get hung up trying to figure out, well, what did I do to have this happen in my life? The enemy will keep you there. He'll keep you over here. Well, what did you do? It can keep you then in this state of anxiety, trying to always do everything right, because you might make a mistake and let something happen. The fact is, we live in a world that has fallen, and things are going to come. But when they come, then don't be deceived into thinking somehow God is not on your side, or God is not right there with you and right there to help you. Believe what it says here. In James, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." He does not change just because your circumstance is changed. If on a good day you can praise Him, and in church, you know, there we're singing songs, and you can praise Him and thank God for His faithfulness, like we sang this morning, thank Him, you know, for all He's done. He rose. You know, He lived, He died, He rose again on high. You know, that He has conquered the grave. Jesus has conquered the grave. He has done all this. If you can sing that now, when we go out into the world and things start happening and it just doesn't look like that is still true, God has not changed. There is no change in Him. He is constant. The sun came up this morning, right on time. God is faithful. He set these laws in motion, and He's faithful. Things just happen. And God didn't change just because our circumstances changed. Just because something came into our life and there's a trial, God's the same. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived at that point thinking, where is God in this? I don't feel Him. Where is it? I'm standing on the Word. I believe what He said, but it doesn't look like anything's changing. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. And He is right there in our situation, there to help us. He has seen ahead. He's made provision. He knew it was coming. It didn't take Him off guard. He saw it before we ever saw it coming. It's not a surprise. He knows exactly what to do. And instead of looking around saying, God, where are You? Say, God, You're right here with me. And what do I do now? Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Show me what's the next step. Help me. You're right here with me. You didn't cause whatever it is to come in my life that's wrong, that's bad. God's will is always for us to be healthy, to be whole, to be taken care of in every way, to have peace in our homes. Everything good comes from God. Everything good, He is the author of good. The enemy, you know, over there in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's just turn over there. Hold your finger in James, though. We're going to come back. In case you're not familiar with that scripture, I don't want to just quote it like everybody knows it. John 10:10. Hold your finger in James and go over to John 10:10. You know, the kids back in the children's have been going over this truth for weeks. Just this truth, John 10:10. And I tell you what, if we'll get this down, and it's what we're talking about today, basically. If we'll get this truth down, if we could just get this just completely, just taken care of in our life, just we're convinced of it, it would change the way we look at a lot of things. In verse 10, John 10:10, it says, the thief, excuse me, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. But verse 10 says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's not God that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's the enemy. Period. Period. If there's something that is stealing from you, that is destroying something in your life, that is negative, that is not wholesome, it is from the enemy, it is not from God. Just completely sew that up. If we'll just sew that up in our lives, if it's negative, it's from the enemy. If it's good, it's from God. Period. God does not use the devil to get his work done. He doesn't work for him. He does not send the enemy to somehow do something in our lives so we'll learn something or to teach us something or somehow that we'll, you know, he's just going to sit back and see if we can handle it. No, we live in a fallen world, so we're going to, the enemy is going to try to do things in our lives and we're just going to run into stuff because we live in this world. But that doesn't mean God somehow checked out. God is right there. He is the one that came to give us life more abundantly. But the thief, just because God, you know, through Jesus has made a way for us to receive life, doesn't mean the devil went on vacation. He is still there. He is still here trying to do stuff in our life. And if he can, through a trial, just because it's happening in your life, you've come against something and it's just because the world has fallen or he's, you know, directly attacking you, whatever, He will do everything he can to impugn God's character and get you to blame God. If he can get that to happen, now your guns, instead of being pointed at the enemy, are pointed back at the very one that can help you. He's not doing it. He's not responsible. God is not responsible. He is right there with you saying, yes, there's a trial, but I have overcome. Like we read last week in John 16:33. Let's just turn there real quick. Hold, just keep your finger in James. We'll get there. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, God has said, Jesus said, I've overcome it. He said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. But the enemy will still come and he'll tell you, no, you seriously? Look at your life right now. Look at what's going on right now. You're telling me that God wants you to have it right? You're telling me that you're supposed to believe him and somehow these things are going to turn around? Look at your life. Look at it. Look what's going on. How would God let this happen? You hear that voice? That's the voice of the enemy. He's trying to deceive like he has from the beginning. Back in Genesis, what did he do? He came to Eve. God had told him, don't eat of this fruit. He's told us, I've come to give life more abundantly. You're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome it. By his stripes, we're healed. He's provided everything we need. He wants us to have peace in our relationships. Everything good, every good gift is from him. He's told us these things, just like he told Adam and Eve. They walked with him in the cool of the day. They walked with him. They walked with God Almighty. But the enemy came and said, and God just told him, stay away from this. And the enemy came and said, did he really say that? You kidding me? He doesn't really care about it. He just doesn't want you to experience something. He's keeping something from you. He came and he impugned God's character. That's what he'll do to us. And you know what? The devil's not stupid, you know. He's in things of natural things. He's smarter than everybody in here. He's been around for thousands of years, at least. He knows how people think. He knows exactly. He's got your file. He knows what it takes to get you to push your buttons. He's not stupid. If you're having a great day, he may come at you, but you know. More likely than not, he's going to wait. He's a coward as well. He's going to wait till something's going on. Or else the circumstances are, you know, the storm's raging, then he's going to come to you and say, where's God? What's going on in your life? You really believe this? You kidding me? Yeah, you're trying to stand on the word or whatever you're trying to say, like we're talking about, like we've been talking about the last few weeks, just believing what the word says, getting that so ingrained in us so that, you know, we talked about like if you had a calculator that you bought, a real expensive calculator, and it said 2 + 2, you punch in 2 + 2 and it said 5, you would say that's wrong. I don't care. That calculator is wrong because I know 2 + 2 = 4. Well, the devil, you can say right now in church or when you're strong, yeah, I believe God. God's will is to prosper me. God's will is to heal me. God's will is, you know, to have peace. But when all hell's breaking loose around you, see, that's when the calculator's spitting out 5. And you have to say, but it's still true. See, God's word is still true. It's still true. And you're standing on that and you're saying, no, I don't care what's going on. The word is still true. The devil's going to do everything he can to say, no, it's not. Push you off. Push you off. Trials are coming. He's going to try to get you to say, that doesn't work. No, it's working. Who said it's not working? It's working. It's working. The devil's a deceiver. He's a liar. He is an absolute. He's like, an illusionist. It's not true. Who said it's not working? God said it would work. When you speak the word, it'll work. When you believe God, either God's a liar or his word works, or what he said is true. And when we take the attitude that, look, I'm coming against this thing, or this thing's coming into my life, but God's word says this, so this has got to change. It's not going to happen. This is not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. It's wrong. God Almighty is right here with me. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not going to give in to the fact or the deception that says that he's not with me, he's right here with me, and he said he's overcome the world. He said there'd be stuff like this. Jesus said there'd be days like this. Mama said there'd be days. You know, he said there is going to be days, but he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. So don't, and every one of us, I'm sure, has had the thought, because the enemy is nowhere, he'll come to everybody. You know, things are going well, and you just want to say, God, what is going on? And just camp right there and say, I don't know, and just start feeling sorry for yourself. And you know what? Every one of us has done that. It's the tempting thing to do, is to let, just to break and start, instead of just standing and standing strong and no, the word's true. I don't care what it looks like. No, the word's true. God, you're faithful. To just back off from that and just to start spinning and kind of, you know, the thought's knocking on your door, trying to come in, knocking, saying, yeah, what are you doing? What are you trying to believe God for? What? This isn't going to change. God's not even real anyway. Or what do you believe? And all these other people are doing better than you. They don't even believe in God. Well, just a number of things. They're trying, but you're saying, no, I'm not believing that. No. And you keep, no, go away. I don't want any. Go away. But you know, pretty soon, if you're not careful, this stuff keeps coming, and finally you're tempted to go, oh, well, maybe I'll see what you have. And you let it open your door. Once you come in and sit down, I'm going to think about this for a while. And you entertain that thought. You know what? You want some tea? You want some coffee? I'm just going to think about it. You know, I have been doing this. What is going on anyway? You know what you're doing? You're slipping away. You're starting to go over here and starting to feel like, you know, you're falling in. We all do. It's all tempting to do this. We fall in to the enemy's trap. If we don't give in, he can't stop us. Can't stop us. But we're tempted to just let it down and say, well, you know, maybe there's truth to this. And it's always like half true. So you're like, well, maybe that's true. Maybe I haven't done all this stuff. Instead of just staying on the word and saying, you know what? Jesus said there'd be stuff like this, but he said he's overcome the world. Therefore, I'm going to overcome this, period. It's tempting to step back and start, oh, well, I don't know, and start entertaining that. And then pretty soon, you're throwing your hands up and you're going right after what he said, like Adam and like Eve did. You know? Did God really say that? Well, I don't know. No, he said this. Well, he really say that? And pretty soon you're just following him. That's what. But see, it's a smokescreen. He's an illusionist. Don't be deceived. It's not from God, and God is on our side. And who said it's not working? When that voice comes and says it's not working, who said? Who is telling you? You think that's God? That's not God. Well, it's just me. I'm just wondering. No, it's the enemy trying to knock us down. It is working. And if we'll stay with God, it'll work. So go back to James. So there it says in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to read you a couple other translations. It says, consider it, this is the NIV. Excuse me. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Or the Weymouth translation says, reckon it nothing but joy, my brethren, when you find yourself surrounded by various temptations. That's not necessarily easy. But when we get God's perspective, we can reckon it pure joy. Because we know that the thing, so what is coming into our life can't stay. That if we'll believe God, what he said, he's overcome the world, that means we've overcome because we're in him. And if we'll believe him, we'll have the results that we desire. It says, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work. When you come up to a trial, like I said, it's, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier when it's like a sunny day. Sunny day situation. Like, you know, I'm an engineer. Write software, and you know, you can write your software, and you set it up and what we call a sunny day situation. You know, you test it there, do a few tests. Ah, it works. Okay. You know, everything's perfect, in other words. Nothing's wrong. You know all the inputs. And you test it. Oh, it works. But what happens when, you know, the user doesn't do exactly what you said? He goes, oh, I'll do this and this and this and this and this. So you have to plan for all that type of stuff, all the weird events, all the stormy days, all, yeah, when this is going wrong and this is going wrong and this, does it still work in that case? See, when in our lives, it's easy to go, oh, yeah, the Word says it. I believe that. I believe it. It'll work. Sunny day. In church, you got, you know, however many people around you singing the same thing, believing the same thing. Oh, yeah, God's faithful. But then you're in the middle of your life. You're in the middle of your week. Stuff is starting to go wrong. It's not a sunny day anymore. That's when the enemy will come and say, well, it doesn't work. Stuff's not working. See, that's when the testing of your faith is happening. Not, God's not testing your faith, but your faith is getting tested. It's because you're in the world. They don't ever think it's just God, like he's some, you know, puppeteer. And like, well, let's see what he can handle now. Okay, here he goes, you know. Let's see if he can handle this. Oh, he cracked. Oh, well, let's see if he can do it next time. God is not like that, but the enemy will tell you he is. God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? What are you doing? He's right there like he always has been. He's right there. But the enemy will tell you, oh, he's just seeing how much you can take. No, the enemy is seeing how much you can take. Jesus already gave us the answer, and he's trying to come and knock that word out of you. The moment you stand up and say, I believe this. I heard somebody say it like this once. You know, we're all sitting down in here. And this is just, you know, pretend this is where everybody's sitting down. This is just kind of people in general. And you stand up and say, by God, I'm going to believe what God says. I don't care. You just stood out of the crowd. You just stood out and you made yourself a target. He's going to try to get you, beat you down, and knock back and go, okay, forget it. Doesn't work. Never mind. Sorry, tried. That's what he tries to do. If you believe the word of God and say, I believe this, and then stuff happens, and it's just going to try to knock it out of you to where you say, you forget where you were spiritually. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but you get a revelation of something. It answers your question, and you're saying, man, I believe this now. I'm never going back to the way I was. I believe it. And you feel like you're at a different level. And then everything just starts going around you, knocking you every which way to where when you finally get off the mat, you don't even remember where you were spiritually. And it's like it tried to steal that from you. To where when all the dust clears, you don't know. You were just trying to hang on. You forgot where it was you were. Now then, and then you start going, something reminds you, like, oh yeah, that's where I was. And once that happens several times, you realize what's going on. It's like what it says over there, Mark, in the parable of the sower. When stuff comes for the word's sake, stuff starts getting fired at you for the word. It's trying to knock the word out of you. It's trying to knock the belief of God out of you. Trials will come, and they try to tell you that God isn't faithful, that he isn't going to do what he said, that you don't have victory over it, to where you just sit back down in your chair and just go through life and do what everybody else does because it's just too hard. It's exactly what the enemy would have us do. And that's why when it says, when count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. When you come in and you say, no, I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to be happy regardless of what it looks like. And that, you go through it, and you don't get moved, and you don't get pushed off, and you don't get sidetracked, and you get the result that the Word promises you. And then the next time something comes, you're stronger. Because you have some experience under your belt. You've seen this work. Now, it might be in a different area. It might be in a different way. But you see that something, that it's worked. So you've produced patience. It's produced patience in your life. You're stronger than you were before. So you go forward and then, like it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Then you come, stuff comes against you, and you go forward and you say, no, I've seen this happen again. I've seen it happen before, and I've heard these lies before, and I'm going to go forth, and it's going to work for me. You become stronger. You go into a situation confident. Stuff happens, but you're not pushed off. Somebody said it like this, that, you know, stuff comes, it's just another opportunity to prove that God's word works. It's just another opportunity to prove that it works. It's not, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? I don't know how all this stuff's going to happen. All these thoughts are coming in. You're tempted to get just feel like everything is falling apart. Wait a minute. God's still on the throne. It's just another opportunity to prove that his word is true. And at that point, we can count it all joy. We can count it all joy because we can look, not, we don't get happy or don't count it all joy because of the situation. Not because we're, you know, nobody wants to have something bad happen in their life or have something test them. Not because of that, but in spite of it, in the middle of it. When that happens, you're still like, I still see the outcome. I still see the victory. And so this comes, it's just another opportunity to show that God's word's true. We're going forward. And things are happening around you, it's just another opportunity to show that God's word works. The thoughts are coming, trying to get you, say, you're nuts, you're stupid, you're a fool. Why don't you just give it up? And you say, this is just another opportunity. God's word's true, and he's walking right behind me. And when I'm speaking words, he's backing them up. So I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be pushed off. The enemy's trying every tactic he can. If we'll just hold to this, if we'll just hold to what God says, there is nothing that can defeat us. Nothing that can push us off in life. If we'll hold to what he says, if we'll hold to what the Word of God says, because it's ultimate truth, like we talked about. You know, we can have some kind of philosophy about life, you know, I can do it mentality, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's not solidly based on God's Word, there are times where you can say, yeah, I can do it all you want, and the situation's not going to move because you're not big enough to do anything about it. Doesn't matter if you have you can have a positive attitude even, and that'll help you. Because at least you're not negative. That's not good. Spiral down anyway. But there's things you just flat out can't not do anything about in yourself. There's things the doctors can't do anything about. There's diseases they can't do anything about. And it's one thing to have something small and that you can just pop a pill or whatever, and that's fine. Nothing. I'm not saying anything against that. But there are things that you come against where there is no answer other than God. And so if we're not going out based solid on his word, then we can get pushed off. But if we're based on him, then we can go forward and be confident that, look, we're going to make it. Jesus said so. God said so. And either we get to the point where either this is true, you know, and I can literally just stand on it. And this is true. This is truth. And if it says it, it's true. Or we get to the point where, you know, I mean, if this doesn't work, God's a liar. And I know that's not true, so this is true. Period. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if these things that are real. They're real, but they're not the final authority. And see, that's when we get God's perspective on something. When we get his perspective, we can actually have joy. That's the only way to do it. Nobody in their right mind would actually have joy in a situation that looks terrible unless they have God's perspective on it. If you have God's perspective, you know that he has taken care of it, that he is bigger than anything, period, that he saw you before you were ever born. He saw you coming up to this point, and he's already made provision. He has this perspective up here. So he can see what's going on. He knows where you are, and he knows exactly the way out. You know, if you go to one of those corn mazes, you know, and the corn's actually tall enough where you can't see around it, you can get to a place where you don't know where the heck you are. You don't know how to get out. You've gone around in circles. You just keep going. You cannot figure out what to do. But if you had somebody in a helicopter, and you were on a radio or a cell phone with them, and they could see everything, and they're above you, and they say, well, you just turn left, and then you turn right, and you turn left, and you go straight for a while, you would have their perspective. You would know exactly what to do. That would change your whole, you would, wait a minute, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here. You're not going to get all, anxious and fretful and everything. When you run into a corner, you're going to, well, hey, buddy, which way do I go now? You see me? Yeah, you see me. Okay, which way do I go? You know exactly what to do. Well, when we come up against something, in our natural mind, it's like tempting. We come up to this and go, what am I going to do? I don't see any way around this.
And we're tempted to forget that we have the very creator of the universe with us, living inside us, and he said we'll overcome. And he said to count it joy. So at that point, if we get his perspective and go, wait a minute, it's not just me. It's not just me in this situation. I have God Almighty with me. God, now I'm just going to rest in you. I am going to rest in you. What do I do? Show me. Holy Spirit, I'm just going to spend some time just praising God. Holy Spirit, show me what I do. Just quicken it. What do I do? Which direction do I go? What should I do here? We know we have his perspective. We know that there is nothing that can beat us. Nothing that can overcome us. We can have joy in the midst of the situation. Amen? Thank God.